God, you are so good. You are so powerful. You are the great healer. You are the great physician. And I'm so glad that you looked down on this earth and you saw us as the lonely sinners you are, we are. And you chose us. You decided to love us and care for us and forgive us, great God. So we thank you for this day. We thank you for your presence, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you always have the victory over Satan. You always have the ultimate power. There is nothing, nothing that can defeat you or us, Lord Jesus. And we ask for all of your power in our lives, in your presence. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen. Praise God. Wow. 7 years of ministry, saints. And the theme that I chose, if you look at our sermon title today, what is it called? Being faithful to the call. You know, I have probably felt like I've shared the story of my call a million times in this church. And I had a feeling that everybody knew about it, so I stopped talking about it because I felt like you all were getting bored with that story. But then I realized there are a lot of new people in Glenville, and then a lot of the younger people don't know the story. Especially when my own 8-year-old daughter said, Mommy, what are you talking about? And I said, oh, I guess you were there, but you were a little baby when all that stuff was happening. You didn't realize about Mommy's call. So I decided just to share a little bit of my story this morning that my call, although I've been ordained to ministry for 7 years, my walk with the Lord started 14 years ago when I walked through the door with my sister, who had to practically drag me through the door because I told her I didn't want to go. And I told her she needed to go by herself. And I was like, you don't need me to do all that. But she said, Kelly, let's go. And I was obedient and I listened. And that was my first step of faith on this walk of journey with the Lord. And since those 14 years ago, I've been in the building ever since, and it's been hard for you all to get rid of me. And I came in this church and I was unsure and I was angry and I had a lot of baggage and a lot of brokenness in my spirit and a lot of brokenness in my soul. And I was bitter and angry and lonely and I just didn't trust in a lot of people or a lot of things. And I walked in this door and here you all were smiling and greeting me and I was like, what's wrong with those people? Why are they being so loving to me? I couldn't even recognize love. Because that's how long I had been without him. And so when you all greeted me with such kindness and such love and such respect, the healing process in my life began. And my journey with God went a little further. And I began to work a lot more with Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby. And I joined ministries just like you guys. I joined many things. I was a Girl Scout troop leader with Deborah Jolly, remember our Girl Scout days? And Ella, where you at, Ella? We were Girl Scout troop leaders for some years with Vicki Williams, and we used to, boy, we'd be out there in the camps camping and cold and dirty and hungry. But it was a ministry, and all those girls now are college age, and many of them have gone on to college and graduated. And I remember was that Victory Sunday or Celebration Sunday when I danced with the adult dancers and some of the kids say, wow, Pastor Kelly, we never saw you dance before. And I was like, man, I used to dance all the time. All of us, we used to dance all the time. So I was just like you guys, you know, I joined ministries and I began to support the church and work in different aspects. I remember even when the building didn't look like this, and remember we had to come in and scrape off the pews and repaint them and scrape the walls and repaint them, and all of us was wrapped up with scarves and all dusty and dirty. We did a lot of work here at Glenville, and in that time, Pastor Rick, I sat down with Pastor Rick to discuss my future, and I said, Pastor Rick, I think maybe I should go into the military because I needed an income, I needed a job, and I needed some support, and the military would provide all those things. And Pastor Rick said, I think you should go to seminary. And I was like, something's not adding up on this, Pastor Rick. seminary, don't have an income and don't have a lot of support. And he said, I think you should go. And because he saw something in me that I couldn't see in myself, I said, okay, I can step up to this. And as soon as he spoke it, it was like the Lord said something in my heart, like, Kelly, this is what you should have been doing a long time ago. And so I went off to seminary, and I was broke, and I had a little girl. She wasn't even yet in school, Whitney. And we didn't have two nickels to rub together. We were so broke, and we went off to seminary, and you all said, I'm going to support you. And that you did. You made sure I had a check every single month. You made sure Whitney had Christmas presents every single year that I was in seminary. And while I was in seminary, my husband decided to propose. And I said, all righty, Lord, there is a God. Because I had already told him when I first met him, I said, God chose you to be my husband. He didn't believe me, though. I guess you shouldn't say that when you first meet somebody, but I told him that anyway. And he was kind of resistant, but in some kind of way, the Lord wore him down. So in my second year, we were united as a couple, and then by my third year, we were already pregnant. So here I am going all the way, 2-hour drive there, one way, 4 hours round trip, back and forth to Pittsburgh, pregnant, with still little money. And you all continued to provide and support, and the Lord continued to provide and support. And during that time, while I was in seminary, I didn't have to take out any loans, and I graduated debt-free from seminary. And the Lord provided, saints. And then I earned all of my children. We went from having, how many did we start with? Like three, four. Then we kind of ended up with like 9 or 10 in the midst of that because we inherited nieces and nephews, and some of them grew up and gone off, and we still got about 6. I lose count of them sometimes, saints. They're all on the front right there, you see. But our family made it through. And then when I graduated from seminary, I was just so amazed that you all traveled all the way to Pittsburgh to attend my graduation. And then when I got home, you gave me parties and things like that. And I just could not believe. I was like, what did I do to deserve all of this? But you all were faithful. So then when I graduated, when you graduate seminary, it doesn't mean you necessarily have a call. But I knew my calling was to Glenville. I was like, I know I'm supposed to work at Glenville. So Pastor Rick sat down with me again, and he said, Kelly, can you really accept this call? Do you understand what it means? And I said, sure, I got this, Pastor Rick. Then he started telling me about his story and Pastor Toby's story and how when they started as pastors here, there were 2 pastors working on 1 salary, and they would make less money than I made. I made about $14,000 when I started. They made about $12,000 together. I was like, wow, that's kind of bad. He said, do you understand what it means when you're getting called to Glenville? It won't be easy. And I said, oh, no, Pastor Rick, I got this. You see, saints, because at that particular time, Glenville was on an upswing. Everything was going great. People were joining in the church. We were all moving and shaking. And I was like, what kind of suffering are we going to have here? It's going to be great, Pastor Rick. No problems, no hardships. So I accepted my call, and as soon as I accepted my call, it seemed like all of these things started going wrong. Our economy took a huge hit. Remember that a couple years ago? Our economy took a huge hit, and our giving here at Glenville went way down. And I worked for about 6 years with no raise. 6 years with all of our kids. And all of our family. And it was pretty difficult because not only did we not have a raise, we didn't have any health insurance. And I kept praying to God, God, are you sure about this? Because not only did we take an economic downturn, we also lost many members of our church in the last 7 years. A whole lot of members, saints, we've lost. And in that time, I kept praying to God. I said, God, are you sure about this, that I'm supposed to be here? Why are things getting so hard? And I looked at Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby, and I said, how did you do this all those years when it was rough? And they looked at me, and they said, God will provide. Amen. And I was remembering that question that Pastor Rick had asked me, can you truly accept this call? Do you know what you're getting yourself into? You see, saints, a lot of times we step up and we say, yes, I can, and we're so excited about what we're going to do, but then reality sets in and we realize that saying, yes, I can, is a whole lot different from actually walking the walk and talking the talk. It's two different things, saints. You know, many of us, we say we want to get married, and we all say, yes, I can do that. I want to get married. Sure, this is great. Then we say, I do, and 6 months later, or in my case, 3 days later, while we were on a honeymoon, we said, why in the world did we do this? It seems easy at the beginning. Many of us, when we went off to college, we said, oh, I can do this. I'm so excited. Then we got those first classes and those syllabus, and we say, whoa, what did we get ourselves into? Many of us are so excited about different jobs that we have, and we say, yes, I can. I love this type of work. And then we actually start working. And we realize that we work for some grueling hours and very little pay and a whole lot of work. We say, oh, no, what did I get myself into? All of us that are parents, we think it's a great deal. Good job having a baby, right? We have those babies, and they're so cute at the beginning when we first bring them home, and they're so precious. Then we realize they have colic. They need diapers all the time. They need all that formula, and then those terrible twos hit, and the terrible threes hit, and the terrible teens hit. And yeah, they don't call those, but those terrible teens. Sorry, y'all teenagers. It's rough. Y'all will see one day. But all those different things hit, and we think, why did I do this? Why did I decide to become a parent? This is hard work. I was so excited last Sunday. Sylvia called me, and she told me they had tallied up the first fruit offering, saints, from the Striving for Excellence, Excelling in Giving campaign. And she told me that there was over $7,000 collected, like $7,800 collected, and that they still hadn't finished counting. And I was like, wow, look at what God can do through Glenville. Because that was just the first fruit offering. That didn't even include that you all were still faithful in your tithes and offerings. And then on top of that, at the very end of the service, that didn't happen first service, but second service, Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby had told us about the death of their father, and we decided to take up a special collection, and that collection was over $800, saints. And I was like, wow, look at God. And I thought, many of us, we all step up, we say, yes, I can, I can, I can, I can, I can give. But then I wondered, during this next 2 years, saints, when it starts getting a little tough, and some of us start losing a little bit of our income, and we start losing a job here and there, or things start happening to our finances, will we be able to stay faithful? Will we be faithful to the call? You see, saints, we all know that we are all called. But the question is, can we be faithful during that call? As I said, it's the easy part is stepping up and saying yes. It was real easy to step up and say, yes, I can be a pastor here at Glenville New Life Community Church. But then I realized that the hard part was being faithful to the call. You see, I didn't realize that when I got called to Glenville, that part of my preparation would involve cleaning the kitchen of Glenville New Life. They don't kind of teach you that in seminary, kitchen preparation. I definitely did not realize that part of my preparation would be cleaning the toilets of Glenville New Life and New Life Fellowship. I was thinking, when did we have that class about the toilet bowl cleaner and the toilet bowl plunger? You know, not to be gross, but some people leave some really special packages in that bathroom. And I think, who do they think clean this stuff up? It's the pastors. You know, I thought, wow, I'm going to be preaching every Sunday. I'm going to be up there like Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby. And Pastor Rick was like, here, let me show you how to repair holes in the roof. And Pastor Toby was like, here, let me show you how to get the van started when it won't work. How to go to sick and shut-in visits and work with families. And I was thinking, wait a second, nobody taught me all of this stuff. And I think the common word at the beginning of my ministry was, they didn't teach us this in seminary. So I've learned over the last 7 years that it's real easy to step up to the call, but can I be faithful in the call? You see, in the book of Acts, we all know that story about when the church first began and the church started growing and all of the disciples were gathered together and they realized, wow, this church is growing so much and we need to do extra things. And so they decided to appoint some deacons and they said, deacons, help us out here. We have so many people, we can't deal with all of the needs. And so these deacons came along and the reality was they learned not only that they had to say yes to the call, but can we be faithful and willing during this call, saints? Because it's not easy. And they also had to realize, and like I've realized, that we all have a part in this. Every single one of us here today, we all have a part in ministry. And my part, because I'm a pastor, or Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby's part, because we're all pastors, are not bigger than your parts. All of our parts are equal, saints. We said in our campaign, it's not equal giving, it's equal sacrifice. Amen. It's equal sacrifice. You see, I realized a long time ago that God is not looking for great leaders. We look at pastors sometimes and we're like, wow, they're so great, they're so wonderful, they're up there doing all that great stuff. But God is not looking for great leaders, saints. And I'm not trying to be Martin Luther King Jr. I don't even consider that I'll ever be this major pastor in the world. It's not my concern. If God allows that to happen, I will be blessed. But if he doesn't, that's fine too. Because I realize God is not looking for great leaders. God is looking for leaders that realize we serve a great God. Amen. God is looking for servants that realize that we serve a great God. That's what matters. I often read the story of Joshua in the Bible. I love his story. You see, saints, because Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby have given me the blessing that when I came aboard, they've always treated me as their equal. They've always said, come on, Kelly, you got to do this just like we got to do it. And I've been looking at them like, yeah, but you all got 20 years into this. But they've always treated me as an equal. But sometimes when pastors come on board, it's like more like they're number two or number three or number four. And I realize, saints, that I don't mind being number two and number three and number four. There are some blessings in being the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth. You don't always want to be out front. Sometimes I scurry to the back real fast. And I look at Joshua because Joshua had to follow in Moses' footsteps. And that's not an easy footstep path to follow behind. And Joshua had this great leader in Moses, and all the people were rallying with Moses. And then Moses came to the end of his term, and it was Joshua's turn. And when Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby got called away last week, I was thinking, oh, I don't want to be there by myself. But God said, Kelly, it's your turn. Someday, sometime, you will be pastoring without them. And even someday, you won't even be the pastor here. Pastor Rick is always preparing us for the day that he will die. Did y'all hear those comments he makes? Because it's not just about us here right now. It's about us preparing the next generation that's coming after us, amen. Us always saying, be ready, young people, to claim this torch because we won't be here forever. Amen. So be prepared. And Moses did a good job of saying, I won't be here forever. Joshua, get ready. And Joshua, you get the next person ready after that. But Joshua was called and God said, I want you to take my people into the promised land. And when you hear those words, the promised land, you're like, oh, yeah, I want to go there. Sounds like a good place. And Joshua's thinking, okay, this is looking real good, going into the promised land. How many want to go to the promised land? Well, what Joshua had yet to realize is that getting to the promised land wasn't going to be easy. You see, when he got looking at the promised land, the book of Joshua tells us that there was already some people living in the promised land. And those people in the promised land didn't want to give up their spot. But God had told Joshua and the people of Israel, that's your land. Go get it. And I can see Joshua thinking, well, why don't you just move those people out before we get there? make this easier for us. But God said, no, it's not going to be easy. Be obedient to me. Go into the promised land and trust me. Go into the promised land and trust me. You see, the book of Joshua teaches us about promise and wealth and victory. And promise and wealth and victory, those are all of ours, saints. God promises all to have wealth and victory in our life. But see, we get sometimes confused. Because soon as we hear those words, promise, wealth, and victory, we start thinking about a big house and a nice car and some diamond rings and some maids and some butlers and all that kind of fancy stuff. But that's not what the promised land is, amen? So God says to Joshua, I have this promised land for you. You see, the Israelites had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, amen? And he reminded them, your final destination is not in the wilderness. Do you get that, saints? Our final destination is not in the wilderness. We're not meant to stay in a sinful place. We're not meant to stay in poverty and despair. We're not meant to stay in depression and doom and gloom. That is not what God has for our lives. He is sending us to the land of the promised land. But sometimes we get confused with this world, and we consider success as meaning that we're never going to have any problems. We're never going to have any problems, saints. And Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby from day one taught me, becoming a pastor does not mean you will have no problems. It will mean you will have many, many more problems than you already have. But I didn't necessarily understand that, saints. But I realized what God's promise was, that no matter what my situation was, no matter what the problem was, God was going to grant me the victory in every situation. We are a part of God's promise, saints. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, saints, and I want to read this for you because it says, and I tell you that you are Peter. In the same way, I tell you that you are the church. And on this rock, Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of death will not overcome it. So you are all, we are all a part of this promise that says, I will build my church, and the gates of death will not prevail over it, saints. So how do we build the church? I think I've said this time and time again, that the church is God's people. We build the church by impacting people. We can build thousands and thousands of buildings, saints. But we build God's church by going out, being faithful to the call, and saying, go out and spread the message of Christ. And many of us, saints, soon as we become dedicated to Christ, we give our hearts, we give our souls, and we step up to that plate and you say, I can go, I can do it. Whatever you desire of me, Lord Jesus, I will do it. But then we look out the door and we see it's kind of raining out there. And we think, I really don't want to go out in the rain today to knock on doors for you, Lord Jesus. It's kind of cold. Or then we start talking to those people with the bad attitudes, and we think, you know what, I'm just trying to tell you about Jesus. That's all I was trying to do. You gave me that bad attitude. I won't be talking to nobody else. Or we go to those homes. Many of my first years here at Glenville, we was hitting the pavement every Saturday and knocking on doors, and people would just wham, shut the doors on us. And I'd be like, we're not Jehovah's Witness. Please let us in. They just wham, slammed those doors. And God was revealing to us that many people are called saints. Many of us are called, but few of us reply. You see, we realize, saints, over the years, and I've realized, saints, that the reason that I can serve so faithfully, I love serving God. I will do it all day, every day. And I try to walk that walk, whether I'm at home or at school, wherever I may be, at work, wherever I may be. And I'm often glad when someone points out to me, you know, your attitude is not correct. Or you're not talking the way you should be talking. Because I can be reminded that I'm just like everybody else and I am a sinner. But I also realize that I am a sinner that loves Jesus. And I realize that every single place on this earth that my foot touches, whether it's in Glenville or my home or outside, every single place that my foot touches, judges. God has given that place to me. Every single place that your foot touches, saints, God has provided that. God has provided that. So then it challenges us to say, God gave me this floor. Can I be faithful to God back in my giving? God has done this for me. Can I be faithful in this call, saints? So I'm asking you the same question, saints, that Pastor Rick asked me 7 years ago. Can you be faithful to the call that God has placed in your life? You see, saints, we got a long way to go. These 7 years have gone by very quickly, but we have a long way to go. Right now, today, we are at the 48-year mark of ministry, 48 years. But we are preparing for the next 50 years. We are at number 48, but some way long down the line, they will be saying, we celebrate 100 years of ministry because those people long time ago were faithful to the call. You see, we're preparing future leaders, not for now, but for the next 50 years and thereafter. You see, saints, I often hear us saying, and I love to work with young people because I feel like it keeps me young. I know all the slang, I know how to text, I know all the good stuff because of young people. Sometimes I think it bothers them that I understand. I'm like, I know what you're saying, I know what that text meant. I go on Facebook, I look at them, my kids, I drive them crazy because I'd be typing right along with them. But the youth here at Glenville are growing. We see that. The youth are growing, they're becoming faithful, and they're dedicated saints. But we have much more to do. You see, when God placed the vision of Glenville in my life, he said, we're going to have a strong seniors ministry. We're going to have a strong singles ministry. All these areas of the church still need to grow. Our media and sound crew, saints, all of these areas are waiting for your growth and your participation, saints. And all of those things require a strong budget. And that's hard to say. Can we be faithful in our next 2 years of giving? You see, I don't think, when Pastor Rick often talks, he talks about, he always mentions me and he says, you know, Pastor Kelly has worked a long time with a very low salary. And I think I'm going to be faithful in that. I'm going to be faithful in that. But it's just not Pastor Kelly that has worked a very long time with a very low salary. We've had secretaries work a very long time, very hard hours. We've had our outreach minister, who's also worked very long, long hours. We've had our maintenance crew, saints. We've had people cutting grass and doing all kind of stuff. Our musicians, who work very, very hard. And so we are not just growing a budget to support three pastors. We are growing a budget to support an entire staff. An entire staff, someone that can personally be paid to clean the toilet and mop the floors. And I think, saints, I know that's a big task. And we think, wow, can we really do all that on top of all the other things that we've already been doing? Because you all at Glenville, you've been faithful. I couldn't be here today without you. The secretaries, the outreach minister, the musicians, Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby, the maintenance crew, we are so thankful for what we get. And we work hard, and we're very thankful. And we think, how can we keep going? How can we press on? How can we do all these things? Well, God told Joshua a few hints. He said, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous, not just during the good years. Not just during those times when things are easy, but especially when things get hard. Especially when you're told you're going to take a paycheck cut. Especially when you're told you're going to lose your job. Especially when things are going all wrong in your life. God says, be strong and courageous and trust in me. God also told Joshua, observe the law. Observe the law. Observe all that I have written. Do according to what is written. You see, saints, when life gets hard, for some reason, we start talking to all of our friends and family. We start trying to get advice from everybody under the sun, but we don't go to the Word of God. We don't don't go to the one thing that is certainly able to help us out in all circumstances. God told Joshua, be confident. And he didn't mean have this big head. You see, saints, it was real hard for me to get up here and talk about my anniversary because I don't like to say I did anything. Because I know that every single thing in me and a whole lot of the stuff in you is because of what Jesus has done in your lives and my life. I don't want to be self-confident ever and think that I did any of this because I did not. I don't want to be self-confident. I want to be God-confident and say, God has done all of this in my life. So when we think, can we do all of those things? Can we have a full first service church, a full first second service church with a full staff on board? Can we do those things? We are confident that if we are faithful in God, we can. And the final thing that Joshua was told is that the Lord your God is always with you. We talked about that in our spiritual journey class this past year, saints. That has been the biggest change in my life. It's realizing that God is always with me. If I'm here, if I'm at hospice, if I'm sitting in my bedroom at home, if I'm in my car, if I'm walking up and down the street, God is always with me. And in the same way, this great God is always with you. So there is nothing that we cannot accomplish with Jesus present in our lives. So saints, my last question to you was my first question to you is, in these next new 7 years and 50 years and all the rest of the years, is can we all be faithful to the call that God has placed in our lives? Let us pray. Gracious God, you are so good. You are so amazing, Lord Jesus. And you teach us so many things in so many ways, Lord. And you are always faithful to us. That's what's so amazing about you, God, is that no matter how many times we fail, no matter how many times we mess up, Lord Jesus, you are faithful to us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be faithful unto you, giving unto you, Lord, no matter what life circumstances may be in our lives. Help us to find our true calling always in you, Lord Jesus. And we give you all the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen.